Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the second year in a row.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. Mr. Wonderful here. At your service. 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me today. I'm having a lot of fun. I hope you are. Hope you can tell that I am. That's my goal, because I am having fun. I like doing this. This is the most fun that I, you know, other than maybe snow skiing, and I love to snow ski. Other than that, maybe this is only second to that. But anyway, and maybe a couple of other things in life, but this is fun for me, especially when I get to visit with cool people like our good friend Russell Brown, and he's another RCG. Russell Brown, you know what an RCG is?
I have no idea. I'm kind of afraid to ask.
Really cool guy.
Oh, okay.
How about that, huh? Hey. You didn't know that was a credential that you had now, did you?
You got to tell that to my teenage son.
I don't think it'll work. No, it wouldn't work with my kids. I used to have teenagers, but I loved them anyway.
Yeah.
But Russell Brown, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business and Preparing Your Business for Sale and computer program, the resource called BizPricer, which we're going to get Russell to tell us about a little bit later on. Russell is our business buying and selling expert. He's an old friend of ours, an original member of our Brain Trust. Russell, welcome back to the show.
Jim, I'm really glad to be back.
It's like a dream come true, isn't it?
You know, little lead-in, that promo lead-in where you remember the Heavy 100?
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Are you thinking of going on a diet? I mean,
you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I personally don't mind the Heavy 100 moniker myself, but I really kind of stood up for the ladies who are on that list of the 100 top talk show hosts in America. And so I decided that I felt like, you know, I need to show a little chivalry, and I needed to stand up for the ladies. And so I recommended to the folks at Talkers Magazine that instead of calling us the Heavy 100, which would be, you know, I can see how the ladies would take a little bit of umbrage at that, I said, why don't you call us the Radio Gods and Goddesses? What do you think? Doesn't that have a nicer ring, the Radio Gods and Goddesses?
Oh, huh? Absolutely.
Russ, talk to us about some of the what's our next business buying and selling jungle lesson that we need to
do? We've been working in the finding the skeletons in the closet.
That's right.
We've been talking about the fact that whenever you buy or sell a business, there's a lot of little warts and wrinkles and anomalies in a business that you need to know about as the buyer. And as a seller, as the business owner, you need to know what kinds of things that people are looking for. So what I did is I put together a list of these various items that you should definitely check out and look at. And I even made an attempt to alphabetize them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all the way up to number K,
or number
item K,
I should say.
And that's key employees leaving or competing with the business.
Hmm.
So now imagine you're either considering buying a business or you own one and you can sell it. And you have to consider the fact that many businesses are very dependent upon their employees. And there's certain key employees. Now, you know, a small business might only have one or two employees, and they could be the key employees. Where a larger business would say 20 or 30 employees might have only another two or three that might be considered key. And if it's just a sole proprietorship, just a man or a woman working alone, I mean, obviously they're a key employee. So all of these types of individuals, you have to think about the fact that after a business sale, will they remain with the business? Or is there a chance that they'd leave, which would put a hole in the experience and the support that they're bringing to the business, or even worse, would they leave and start a competing business?
Mm-hmm.
So these are things to think about.
Well, and especially becomes touchy when you're buying the business and you've got an employee like that, and you're trying to you want to know what that person's going to do, but it's almost hard to determine at what point do you want to them to do you not want them to know something's going on, the business is being considered for sale, and then when you ask when you're ready to ask them you know what their plans are when you try to find out what their plans are. I mean, it's really one of the diciest situations when you're buying a business, isn't it?
Yeah, it's extremely dicey, and because you've touched on the problem, you know, it's the old age-old problem that, in essence, business sellers always tell a business broker, you know, you want them to find a buyer for the highest price possible and
right.
cast their net wide. But by the way, don't tell anybody.
Don't tell anybody.
Sell.
And of course, if this is a key employee, how are you going to keep them from knowing? We're going to talk about that right after these messages with our good friend Russell Brown, the author of Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. Mr. Joe Cocker, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with us today. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, we've got Georgia Donovan, and she's going to help us get organized. And then Rich Galen is going to join us. We're going to talk about politics. And then we got Terry Levine and Gene Greisman. I'll tell you more about them a little bit later on. Don't forget now, on Thursday, the editor emeritus of Kiplinger, of the Kiplinger editors, the son of the founder, the 86-year-old son of the founder of Kiplinger, and is going to be here because the day that he's on the air on Thursday, that's going to be their 81st anniversary of the Kiplinger editors, of the very first letter that came out in 1923. Ladies and gentlemen, when I tell you 86 years old, when you hear Mr. Kiplinger on this show on Thursday, you will think he's 39 years old. He is an amazing human being. He's a national treasure. You don't want to miss that interview. That is going to be, he's been on the show before. I think there are one or two archives up on the site where he's been here before, but you don't want to miss that. It's a lot of fun. So check that out. And that's going to be on Thursday. Russell Brown is our guest, and we're talking about buying and selling a business. We're talking about some of the things to look for, finding some of the skeletons in a business. And Russ, we were talking about key employees, which is where we are right now, what to do about these key employees. The seller, or the buyer, I should say, is, I mean, one of the first things you're going to ask is, now, tell me about your key employees. And then when you find out about them, you're going to say, well, now, what do you think they're going to do? And they're going to, and the seller's going to say, well, you know, of course they're going to stay. They would right. never leave. Right. And you're going to say, well, when can I know that for sure? And as the buyer, and they're going to say, well, oh, I don't want you to tell my, we can't talk to my employees yet because, you know, we can't do that till the deal's done.
Right.
And as the buyer, you need to know something, don't you?
You absolutely do. And that in every situation where there's a key employee becomes an issue that's got to be resolved. And now in a bigger, let me just say, in a bigger operation where the company sometimes uses contracts and things like that, they're well advised to try to get their key employees under some kind of employment contract. Now, that's a little sticky, too, because it's hard to enforce employment contracts and that. But it does it's probably the best you can do to ensure that a key salesperson, let's say, on your sales force is going to stay put for the next couple of years and with the company.
I mean, well, one of the things that you definitely need to do, Russ, and you've taught us this over the years, is even the one of the best ways I think you've told us to protect yourself as the seller, as the potential future seller of a business, is if even if you don't get employee agreements, is to get some kind of a non-compete agreement, non-disclosure non-compete, so that for a reasonable period of time, which is typically a year for a key employee, so that whenever the buyer comes to you and says, what about your key employees? And then you say, well, even if he or she does leave, they're under a non-compete agreement for a year. That's worth money to that buyer, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. That gives some level of confidence that as you take on the business, that even if you lose this important employee, they're at least not going to be setting up shop across the street from you and and competing directly with
and,
you.
So. And that agreement, that non-compete, is a rolling non-compete, right? It's a year from whenever they decide to leave.
Right.
It's not some kind of an annual thing that has to be renewed.
Yeah, it can even be longer than a year. And but a lot of employees are reluctant to sign them, but there's different ways to entice them to do that
through compensation or promotions or some kind of a bonus situation. If you're compensated for your non-compete, then that's the way to get it to be longer than that.
Right. The best way, of course, and this is after the horse is out of the barn, perhaps, but is the new employees come into the company as you hire new people. Have them sign non-compete agreement.
Right.
And the key on those, I'm not going to try to give any legal advice here, but on non-compete agreements, you got to be very, very careful not to make them so restrictive that they'd be thrown out in any kind of a court of law, because everyone has a right to make a living.
It has to be reasonable, and the two key areas are geography and or maybe I should say reach and time. In other words, if it's within a certain industry or within a certain geography, and the time, all that has to be reasonable. And but I will tell you that if you make it reasonable in any of those things, it can stand, because Russell, I've enforced those before.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah.
Very simple one. I've had very simple ones that the time was within a year and the reach was only like about, you know, like a 50-mile radius or something like that. I didn't want to protect the industry, but you can protect the industry, and you certainly can protect your customer list, can't you?
Yes, oh yes, absolutely. You can make that not only the customer list, but any information or proprietary types of ways of doing business cannot be disclosed at all, ever. I mean, not that you're able to enforce that. So,
and the best time to bring up what you were saying earlier, the best time to bring up the issue of signing a non-compete, I found, is at an event, which is, as you said, like when you hire them, that's an event, or in a promotion, or in an annual review. Just say, look, you've become a pretty important employee to us. And I want to give you something, and I want to get something from you. I'm going to give you this raise to recognize your importance, or this new compensation plan. But I want I want to know that you're not going to bail on me and take some information with you. So I need you to sign this non-compete. It's an event that you do that at. It works out the best that way. Quick break. Right back with Russell Brown. Stay with us. It's 10 till. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Russell Brown. And my website, by the way, folks, and you can find out lots of stuff about us, about Russell Brown, on my website, and that's at jbsba.com, jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And we got, I don't know, what we got, two or three dozen, maybe something under 1,000 archives just with you, Russell, right?
Oh, wow. Don't think so.
Lots of stuff there. But we know, really, going way back, the whole series on due diligence is there with Russell. Just a lot of good stuff there. So check that out and go to Russell's position on our brain trust. And check out, you know, Russell, if I'm not mistaken, your book, Preparing Your Business for Sale, has a lot of the information that we're talking about right now, how to do a lot of this stuff with solidifying the relationship with key employees.
Yes, it does, and it also points out you do need to take some time. I do recommend up to 3 years ahead of planning to sell your business to start to get all these things put in place.
That's right. Now, tell us where we can find your books and your BizPricer software.
Well, you can come to my website, businessbookpress.com, and have everything available there, plus more.
A lot of free stuff, too, right?
Oh, we have lots. I've got lots of free articles. So if you're just looking for a specific answer to a question, you're very liable to find it for free on the site, and you're very welcome to come and do that.
Thank you for that. But also, you can buy both of Russell's books, Preparing Your Business for Sale and Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, which, by the way, received Kiplinger's Business Personal Finance Magazine's recommendation, and also the BizPricer. Tell us about that.
Well, BizPricer is a business valuation software program that works exactly the way I did hundreds of business valuations over the years, and it works very slick. We've sold thousands of copies already and over the last couple of years, and we're very pleased with it. And again, you can download it right from my site, actually, for a very, very modest amount of money.
All right, check that out when you get a chance, folks, at businessbookpress.com. And as you've heard me say before, nobody gets on my show if I don't think that they're worthy, that whatever they have to offer you is worthy of your time and money. And Russell is on the top of that list. Russell, let's as we wrap up the hour, wrap up our visit here, let's talk about these key employees. What else do we need to know about how we can as we're if we're the buyer of the business? Let's say we're the buyer and we've got this recalcitrant seller who says, I don't want to tell my employees. He basically admits without admitting it that he hasn't done a good job of securing his key employees. But as the buyer, we want to buy this business. How do we resolve that?
Well, that's one of those things you've got to discuss in negotiations. You're going to have to let the seller know that you need to have some assurance that these employees are going to be staying with the company, that they will be able to provide their services for some period of time. You have to have a good feeling for that. And so during the negotiation process, you're going to want to negotiate a point at which you do get to meet with these employees. Now, this is certainly after deposits have been made and negotiations are well underway, and it looks like the closing is definitely going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to have a contingency in your mind that if it doesn't go well, if it turns out that these employees are going to walk out the door the day the business is sold, then you have to have the opportunity to back out of the deal.
Can't you say, Russell, since the seller didn't do a good job to make sure that they pay for this kind of exposure that you may be having, can't you say to them, look, here's the deal. The one thing that this is hinging on is how I feel about how that employee is going to act. And what we have to do is I have to talk to them before we close, and I've got to be able to make that person, if we think they're that important and we want to protect our customer list and our business, I've got to make that person a transition offer. I've got to say, look, when we make the closing, you're going to get a $5,000 bonus or whatever it may be for staying with me and for signing this non-compete, and make that come out of the seller's side, not yours. What do you think?
Well, I think that's excellent. I mean, that's just exactly what you got to do. I couldn't have said it any better myself. The problem, of course, is getting the seller to agree to that. There's a key point which you'll know where that's appropriate to approach mm-hmm. the employee. It's going to have to be well along into negotiations.
It'll have to be toward the end. There's no question
right,
about that.
Right. It has to be. Mm-hmm. The buyer should have a contingency that they can get out of the deal if this doesn't go.
If that doesn't happen. Yep. Yeah. Russell, thank you. Good job today. Well done.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Don't forget businessbookpress.com. That's his website. Check it out when you get a chance. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.